Live from an attic somewhere in the north, this is The Late Show with Tom Starkey.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for listening tonight. Tonight we are going to be talking about digital assessment. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? To be honest, I haven't really got a clue myself, so any input today would be lovely if you can give us your voice, because it'd be nice to hear from you as well. Okay, so digital assessments, revision, exams.
Live from an attic somewhere in the north, this is The Late Show with Tom Starkey. Tune in live at ttradio.org, or to join in the conversation, download the Podbean app and search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio. Tune in, talk it out with Teachers Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday evening. I hope you've had a restful weekend. It's exam season, a season where teachers and students alike both kind of lose it a little bit. I am quite nostalgic for the examination period of the year. I know those of you that are actually teaching out there are thinking, you absolute fool, you, what do you mean nostalgic for this time? It's madness. Madness, I tell you. I used to like it. I used to like the exam season. I used to like that little bit of madness. I used to like the excitement. As a teacher, I was very much an adrenaline junkie. I mean, you should see the list of places that I taught in. But exam season was something pretty special. I know that it came with anxiety and it came with just fear and weirdness and trying for the love of all the gods to find one black pen for David, who never bought his black pens in. But I kind of liked it. It was something a bit out of the ordinary. It was something, you know, need I say, quite important. And it can bring out the really, really good in people. You know, you've got students who formerly would not add liquid to you if you're on fire, you know, coming up, shaking your head, saying, thanks, sir, for everything you've done. I know I've been a bit of one of them, but cheers. And, you know, that used to get me, you know, it used to bring a tear to my eye. I wasn't really a particularly normal teacher. And I liked the adrenaline rush. I liked it. I was like, oh yeah, okay, let's get you in there. Let's do this thing. Come on. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, I like talking to students before and after those dissections of the paper. You know, when, you know, I've basically got the kid by the shoulders and say, like, tell me how it was. Tell me how you have done. My self-worth relies on you doing well, you bugger. And I used to like that. Some teachers don't really want to know about it, but I was literally outside the hall, and I would just scoop up as many kids that I could find and say, how did it go, what were the questions, you know, did that come up, did this come up, did it not come up, oh no. What do you mean we didn't cover that? Yes, we did cover that. We did cover that. I know you covered it because we did it 2 weeks ago, because you came to me and said that you needed some more help with it. Don't tell me you didn't cover it. And so on and so forth. I liked the exam season, but it does drive people potty. But because this is a tech show, and we look at the world of technology and the world of education going hand in hand in a violent arm wrestle, we're going to talk about digital assessment. One of the reasons we're going to talk about this is because it's exam season. You know, why not? Exams have been truly, truly messed up these last couple of years in regards to the pandemic, in regards to students not being able to take them. And this interests me, being a technological bod that I am. A few days ago, I do read. Don't be giving me all that. I do read every once in a while, you know. So I read a story in The Guardian about England's exam regulator exploring online A-levels and GCSEs. Now, I don't really know what I think about this, because it's not massively my area of expertise. In the past, I have administered online exams to students, key skills in particular, so English, maths, ICT. And to be honest, with the small groups that I was with, it worked quite well. You know, it was a fairly open window. You had quite a lot of time to prepare. You had multiple chances of getting it right. And, you know, it was nice. I tell you what I liked about it. I liked the fact that, you know, it wasn't the physical stuff. Wasn't, you know, you didn't have to worry about pens. You didn't have to worry about making sure the right papers got to the right people. I worked in Effie College, and of course at Effie College we've got those wonderful GCSE resits, and my goodness me, just the logistics of trying to get a college worth of kids through the GCSEs on particular days was immense, absolutely immense. You had people literally sprinting. Not me. I'm a bit of a unit. I don't sprint. But you had people literally sprinting with the exam papers, getting them to the right place. And every single room on the day of the exams, English and maths, every single room was used, you know, because you had to fit so many students who were doing a wide range of vocational courses, but were doing the GCSE resits. You had to fit them everywhere. You know, they were in, you know, study areas, they were in cafeteria. We had to take over the cafeteria one year because we ran out of space. You know, there were kids sitting on top of cupboards. You know, there were kids lying on toilets. It wasn't that bad, but you know, it was a logistical nightmare, if I'm going to be honest with you. You know, ticking off names, making sure people have arrived, making sure they had the right papers, making sure that their additional needs were taken care of. You know, if they had extra time, you know, you had to make sure that they were getting that whilst other students were getting other things. You had to make sure that those students that needed a scribe had that scribe in the right place. It's giving me a little bit of anxiety just thinking about it. But I did love the madness. I did love the madness. But when I administered online assessments, that kind of immediacy, anxiety when it comes to materials wasn't really there. And I quite liked that. But I'm talking like a small group. We're talking about 12, 13 students doing key skills, online examinations in a room with 12, 13 computers. And so I'm reading this pens down, England's exams regulator exploring online A-levels and GCSEs. You have to read it like that if it's the Guardian. And it states that sitting exams using pen and paper could be a thing of the past, as England's qualifications regulator Ofqual said it's exploring technology to transform the way GCSEs and A-levels are administered. And I thought about this and I thought, I've got absolutely no idea what that would look like. Absolutely no idea how you would have to have kind of the technological infrastructure that would get that many students through that many assessments. But I might be wrong. You know, there might be ways and means to do this. There might be ways and means to do this that mean that students can take tests at home. Where I work, we've been looking at online proctored exams. How do you ensure that a student is doing what they need to be doing without cheating on an online assessment where they may be in their own home? It's an interesting area. Well, I think it's an interesting area, but, you know, I'm a nerd. I don't get out very much. I do think it's an interesting area. I think it could be fairly transformative in regards to examination day. You know, that mad time where, you got Dave, the geography. There's always, why am I saying Dave so much? Peter, the geography teacher, you know, flinging black pens at kids like they're, you know, like ninja stars, you know, checking kids for phones like, you know, like it's a takedown, you know, it's like they're in the airport. Right, arms out. What, are you sure? Are you sure? Yeah. And all these kind of things. So when it comes to news reports about changes about digital assessment, it kind of piques my interest because you know, although I work with technology, I don't know how that would work. I don't even know what it would look like. Would it mean a computer per student in the school? Because we know for a fact that not every school has that. In fact, very few schools have that. Would it mean students have to go to designated testing centres? You know, like driving tests. Not that I would recommend driving. I failed my driving test like many, many times. But that's probably not a good example. Would you have central banks just full of screens? We've all seen those. We've all seen those pictures of air hangers worth of tables and students doing exams because there's so many of them. I find it quite an interesting subject. I find it quite an interesting kind of, how's this going to look if people are talking about it? What's it going to look like? How are you going to deal with the practicalities? Things like internet access. You know, you're going to be able to guarantee internet access for every single student in this country on a particular day? Are you sure? I'm not. You know, what about rural schools? What about schools that don't have the technology infrastructure to? When I was teaching, it took 15 minutes for the computer to turn on. I don't think you want that when you're doing your GCSE. You don't want that extra bit of frisson before you actually take the assessment. You know, would it mean a massive influx of money? I don't really know. So if you've got any opinions on this, please contact me. You can do that on Twitter at tstarkey, that's tstarkey 1212, or of course the Teachers Talk Radio Twitter account. If you are here on the Leanne just said that I'm having flashbacks to the Teachers Skills Test Centre. Oh my goodness me. Yeah, Leanne, of course. Teacher Skills Test Centre. When I was doing my PGCE and when lots of other things, it's you had to go to a test centre and you had to do your English, maths, and ICT tests in designated centres. Would GCSEs look like that? Hopefully not, because the test centre where I went to had a pub at the bottom floor. And, you know, I'm more than happy to admit it now because I'm no longer a teacher. But I I can't really remember the tests all that well because I'd had a couple of pints for, courage. Really, you know, so yeah, I did all right, like, you know, they let me on the course, fools, but still, yeah, the test, yeah, you know, CG Vowles here, imagine the drain on UK-wide internet resources when everyone logs on at the same time for GCSE English language, and that's the thing, isn't it, because we have, I've just had a light fall off the wall there, all apologies, we're talking about resources that I don't believe exist at the moment, And we're also talking about how do you ensure, if you're going to do a digital assessment, how do you ensure that everybody gets the same sort of chance? So that's kind of the thing that I've been talking, I'm talking about today, because Leanne here on the podcast, Podbean live feed, can you imagine? Sorry, Bob, the computer's frozen. You need to restart it and write your 300-word Shakespeare essay again in 20 minutes. These are the things, you know, technological problems are reality. Roger's history. What lying on toilets? I mean, you know, so you could actually kind of get to the writing. That's what I meant by lying on toilets. Why does my producer, why does the big boss keep messing with me on the messaging? I tell you, he's done something else terrible today as well. So I'll let you know when we get to that section of the show. We're talking actual kind of infrastructure when it comes to this kind of thing. Now I don't know how realistic this is. According to the newspaper report, this was in reaction to the COVID lockdowns and the exams just being kiboshed, really. But I don't know. I think I mean, it offers lots of scope when it comes to the assessment. One of the examples that's mentioned in the newspaper report is that you could use an adaptive test. So if students get test questions right, they get harder and harder questions. So that you do away with the need for a foundation paper in certain subjects. But I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. This is not one of these ones where, you know, I'm like, this is the way things need to happen. This is the way. I don't know. I've seen too many shonky intranets in schools to believe that this is particularly viable at the moment. Too many. I've used too many shonky programs when it comes to administrating online assessment to have a massive amount of faith. But I do like the idea, you know? I do like the idea. One of the primary reasons that I like the idea, purely linked to my own job, is that if there is online assessment, the use of assistive technology during assessment becomes slightly easier if, and this is a big if, ladies and gentlemen, this is an if that's the size of an elephant, and not even a small elephant either, like a whacking great monumental elephant. If the program that ends up being used, if it does end up being used at all, allows for assistive technology, because you know what, guys, proctored examination technology sometimes messes with assistive technology because it thinks that you're cheating when in fact you're trying to change the background color. Or here's, okay, all right, I'm going to shift quickly into an anecdote, and then I'll get back on track with what I actually written down was supposed to be what the show is going to be about today. I was trialing an online proctoring assessment tool. So at university level, HE. So what this tool did, this tool would track you and track your attention, particularly where you were looking. Yeah, that's true. Particularly where you were looking in regards to where you were sat. So what you had is you did your assessment in your room at home or wherever it was, and this proctoring software would track your eyes and track where your eyes were and track to see if you were moving. And I thought to myself, I understand where they're coming from. I get it. They don't want people to be like, you know, going other places, talking to other people, looking at other screens and so on and so forth. Little bit 1984-ish for my liking, but I can understand the point. However, then I thought, and then I expressed the opinion that we have students who have visual impairment, which means that their eyes are consistently moving, whether they are focusing on one thing or not. We have students who cannot sit in one place for any designated amount of time. And so I was like, I get where you're coming from, but nah. So if we're going to do, or if the country is going to, if the country is going to shift into online assessment, what's it going to look at? Can it be equal for everybody? I think there's a chance that it could be, but it has to be thought about in that respect. So yeah, interesting. But let me give you some feedback from people when I've asked a couple of questions on the Twitter. I haven't done a jingle for kind of like Twitter feedback. I should do, really. It'd probably just like be a bunch of birds going. So, this was a really, really, really nice comment from Ms. Green, 1978, which is, I thought, was really insightful. So I asked, what would digital assessment look like on a massive scale? And Ms. Green replied, I am on board with this in theory, but it also requires students to have had access to this kind of assessment from KS3 onwards. A whole infrastructure needs to be built to support students, so this is ingrained in their learning. You can't just, and I think that's a fantastic point, Ms. Green, so thank you very much for the comment. You can't just drop a kid in front of online assessment with no prep. This has to be, in my opinion, the way that students are assessed, and it has to be normalized with students. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to put that in place? How are you going to make sure that students understand the assessment? You know, how are you going to make sure that students know what they're doing? How are you going to make sure students know what button to press? How are you going to make sure that students even know that they need to press a button? You know, all these questions and more will probably hang in the air until the end of the show, unfortunately. But I just think it's something, it's an interesting part of school and education that may need to be thought of in quite a lot of detail fairly quickly, because I've got a feeling this is coming. I've got a feeling this is coming fairly soon. I could be wrong. I often am when I get my crystal ball out. But yeah, you know, I mean, the pandemic and the shock of losing 2 years worth of examinations, I think, will have galvanized people and tried to galvanize people into looking at digital assessment as an alternative. So I think, yeah, I think there's probably scope that this is coming. But as I say, how is it gonna work? What's it gonna look like? You know, it's an interesting one to ponder. If we have and keeping with the examination assessment theme, oh yes, how smooth was that? That was a good one. Tom's top tips, tech tips, and so on and so forth are going to be about revision apps today. So I've been having a look about revision technology, having a look at some of the things that may help students. I've got to let you into the little secret. The reason that I looked at this specifically is because my own son is doing end of year examinations, and it has been so long since I revised for anything. I was like, I don't know how to learn anymore. Please, computers and screens, please tell me how to learn. So I desperately, in an attempt to try and help him, not with the content because it's very complicated, I don't know, trying to help him come up with little tech tools to help you revise. So we'll have a little look at that in a little bit. So digital assessment, it's not new. It's not new. It has been in place for an extremely long time. I'm quietly optimistic about it in regards to accessibility. I'm quietly optimistic about it in regards to ensuring that everyone gets a shot. But I'm a little pessimistic about just the general physical things like infrastructure. When it comes down to things like Wi-Fi, you know, how are you going to get all these computers to make sure that they're all connected to the internet? I can't get one connected to the internet at the moment. At the moment, I'm on the show and I've got like an ancient wireless dongle. I always like that dongle. I've got an ancient wireless dongle because it's the only way I can actually get internet access up to the top of the house. You know how these shows often cut out? It's because I live in a Victorian brick house and the brick be like, no, there are no Wi-Fi signals getting through me. I do not understand what they are. They are not coming through. And strangely enough, we've got a lot of Victorian buildings as schools as well. So just the sheer logistics of it all, the IT guy in me is kind of shivering a little bit at the thought. What do you think? Do you think it's a viable option, digital assessment on a widespread scale in this country? Do you think it means that we would have to make some serious changes or investment in regards to technology? I think you probably, personally, I think you would. I think you'd have to be stumping up mad green to get this to work on a wide scale. But let me know your thoughts. Whilst you're having a little think, and before we go on to Tom's tech tips, it's really difficult if you mispronounce that bit. Have a listen to the news, have a listen to some of the things that are going on, and I'll be right back.
This episode of Teachers Talk Radio has been made possible with support from Witherslack Group, the UK's leading provider of SEN education and care. They're here to support you too through an ever-growing offer of free resources, including webinars, podcasts, articles, and events aimed at supporting teaching professionals like you. Visit their website at www.witherslackgroup.co.uk to find out more.
Imagine a world where you were free to focus on sparking curiosity in your students and giving them access to the awe and wonder of learning. A world where you were supported to deliver a truly personalized education to help all your learners achieve their potential. No need to imagine it, because that's exactly what the Oxford Smart Curriculum Service delivers. Seamlessly integrating curriculum, resources, assessment, next steps, and professional development, every component of Oxford Smart is connected and working to provide you with a uniquely coherent and responsive service that empowers you and your students with transformational effect. The Oxford Smart Curriculum Service. When everything connects, anything is possible.
Introducing Bulb. With evidence-based learning at the forefront of education, let Bulb digital portfolios help reshape your educational practice. Bulb helps teachers teach and learners learn. Bulb is an easy-to-use, fully accessible digital platform that captures students' digital learning assets in one place, allowing them to evidence their learning and reflect on their growth. Our dedicated team of education specialists are on hand to ensure that Bulb fits seamlessly into all of your teaching practices. Come take a look and get a free account at bulbapp.com.
If you're listening to this, then we know we share one thing in common, a passion for the type of outstanding education that every child deserves. That's what makes us the leading provider of specialist education and care. We need people like you to help us achieve even more. With us, you'll be given all the resources and support you need, offered a clear path to career progression, and be rewarded with some of the best salaries and benefits the industry has to offer. We are Witherslack Group. If you'd like to find out more, we'd love to hear from you. Visit www.witherslackgroup.co.uk/careers and be part of our future.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News with Joe Fox.
FE Week reports on Ofsted findings following new inspections within the sector. Recent inspections at three colleges found that standards had not slipped in the decade since their last inspection. All three colleges retained their outstanding grades. The three colleges in Yorkshire were last inspected 10 years ago, but the latest reports highlight the high standards that have been maintained over time. The inspections took place at Notre Dame Catholic Sixth Form College in Leeds, Barnsley College and Greenhead College, both in West Yorkshire. Outstanding colleges are subject to full inspections for the first time this year since 2010, after an exemption was lifted. In Kent, the Isle of Thanet News website reports on the opening of Phys Lab at St Peter's Junior School. The purpose-designed hub within the school grounds enables children to enjoy hands-on experience in exploring the world of physics and general science. The hub was opened in partnership with Ogden Trust. Nathan Williams, the school's award-winning science lead, says the opening of the hub had been fantastic and that children and staff from the school and those from partnership schools were looking forward to exploring a range of scientific learning opportunities. The hub will also be accessible to local schools not in the partnerships. Cameron Ogden, chair of Ogden Trust, stated, "Physics as a subject has huge importance. We are determined that everyone have access to inspiring physics education." Many media outlets report on the arrest of three people on suspicion of involvement in female genital mutilation at an unregistered school in Birmingham. Police, prompted by Ofsted inspectors who had reportedly found a locked room containing medical equipment and a bed, searched the school. Ofsted inspectors were originally following up reports of an unregistered school, but concerns were raised about possible illegal practices, so police were called in. In recent weeks, the Department for Education has announced an increase in powers for Ofsted inspectors so that unsafe, unregistered schools could be shut down. Good Housekeeping has published advice for students in managing their finances. The information on their website includes advice on how to access additional support, eligibility for tuition fee loans and maintenance loans, as well as the implications for repayment. It also outlines other funding pots some students may be able to access. As the cost of living continues to rise, the website reminds students and parents that the deadline for student finance for new students is the 20th of May. In South Africa, the Minister of Higher Education will table a budget for the department's strategic vision for the coming year. The budget will focus on COVID recovery and provide fully subsidised financial support to students. It will also help to increase participation rates amongst people with disabilities and women. This has been your Teachers Talk Radio Weekend News with Joe Fox.
This is 2 Minute Tech with Steve Woods, your tech briefing on Teachers Talk Radio.
Hello. This week, we're going to take a look at the much-coveted presentation clicker. It's a must-have device for a lot of teachers out there, as it allows you to move slides whilst AFK. For those new to 2-Minute Tech, AFK is away from keyboard. Ranging in price from £8 to £30, this classroom essential allows you to stretch your legs and make a few shapes while you dance around the room. Some of us have a mandatory piece of blue tack over the built-in laser pointer. Others have invested in a bit of duct tape, so we ensure the device meets health and safety regulations. And most of us have a small stash of AAA batteries in a secret place that we never admit to having. Well, clicker, I'm telling you to stand aside. The mini wireless multimedia keyboard is taking your place. Having a lower price range of £8 to £15 and being able to do everything the clicker does except blind pupils, as it has no laser pointer, and wait for it. It is rechargeable. You have full keyboard and mouse control from anywhere in your classroom. You can move slides on, Alt-Tab to switch applications, type, use spacebar to stop and start YouTube clips for questioning. Battery life is quite honestly ridiculously long, and if it runs out, a 5-minute charge on a USB lead will get you through your lesson. All I can say is if you're considering replacing your clicker or are simply a gadget magnet, this is a must-have. Search for mini wireless keyboard in any online shop. The only thing I'd say is get one with a light-up keyboard if you present with the lights off. As always, don't forget to check out the TT Radio 2022 Twitter feed. Tell us what you want to know about tech. I'm Steve Woods, and that was 2-Minute Tech.
2-Minute Tech with Steve Woods, your tech briefing on Teachers Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness me, that is gold. Steve Woods, what a legend. I always wanted a clicker. I never actually got one because I'd lose it. I hardly ever had a projector anyway. Mini keyboards, really, really good idea. Nice idea if you're traveling to and from school and you've got a little bit of time and you want to do a bit of work, you know. Not if you're driving, obviously. That's a pretty bad idea. But if you're on the bus or on the train or something along those lines, it's really nice to have a little mini keyboard just to tap away a couple of emails and so on and so forth instead of massively overdeveloping your thumbs using your mobile phone. Yeah, thanks for that. That's great. So we're talking about digital assessment, but before we go back into that kind of main topic, we've got this bit of the show. So yeah, Tom's Tech Tips. So we're looking at revision tools. As I said before the news, my eldest is having exams extremely soon. Is not brilliant at organisation. I wanted to help him. I wanted to make sure that you know I could try and do my bit of a busman's holiday. But you know what I mean. You know you got to help. If you can't help your family, who are you going to help? So I was having a look at revision tools and having a go at certain bits and bobs. So here are my three tech tips, top Tom's tech tips, and so on and so forth. Alliteration is it's fantastic. So my first, and it's one that's recommended by a number of people on Twitter. So thank you very much for that. When I put out a desperate call, please help me help my children to revise. This is the thing. I think as you get older, trying to learn a new skill becomes a lot more difficult, and revision becomes hugely difficult. You know, even just trying to help my own boy with his geography, physics, all these different types of things. It's renewed my respect for adult learners, because it's incredibly difficult to revise and learn something new. It's difficult when you're young. It's very difficult when you're a little bit older. So revision tools, things that may help. PC-based, mobile-based. The first one is one that was highly recommended. So thank you for everybody who did. And the first one is Quizlet. Quizlet is a online flashcard maker. But that's kind of just the basic stuff that it does. I have never really utilized flashcards at any point in time. It's probably why I've never really learned anything. But Quizlet is a really, really easy to use. And Flashcard Maker kind of does it down because what you can do is you can make flashcards. Of course, making the flashcards themselves, I think, is probably as important as actually learning from them, because what you're doing is you're researching your subject, you are writing your subject down, and so on and so forth. But Quizlet makes that process of creating flashcards really, really easy. So you go onto the website, you can create sets, you can create cards, you can add information, copy and paste, if that's what you want to do. I'm not too sure about the learning, but you know, me and my boy, we had a discussion about that. But what it also does is when you create your cards and when you input a question, if it's a fairly common question, it will come up with the answer for you as well. So you don't have to spend an inordinate amount of time creating these cards. Not only do you create and use flashcards, which is really good in itself, I've learned, because my kid's flying with the info at the moment, what you can do is it will create tests for you in lots of different aspects, lots of different ways. So it's not just remembering what's on one side of a card. You can change things up and have multiple choice questions. You can ensure that you input the correct answer, and it will keep track of how well you are doing, and it'll tell you how which subjects that you're really, really good at, that you bang on, that you don't really need any more help, and which ones you may be struggling a little bit more. I was just really impressed. I was really impressed. Quizlet, by the way, Quizlet. It's another one of those tech cutie tech names that, you know, that everybody, all the technology companies use to try and make their, you know, like an incredibly sophisticated AI coming for you stuff sound cute. But yeah, Quizlet, really, really good, really easy to use. You can get on it straight away. You can use it for free. You have to sign up. Pay for options give you lots more options regarding how to create your flashcards and what kind of tests that you can make with those flashcards. But I was just impressed. You know, it's one of the things that I like when it comes to technology. I like, everybody talk about transformation. You have to transform everything. Everything has to be different. Everything has to be, you know, we must take this paradigm and we must put it in the bin and then set fire to that bin and then throw that fiery bin out the window because everything must be new. I don't really believe that. You know, flashcards are great. They work. But what Quizlet does is it makes the creation of those things easy and engaging, and means that you have something to work from, whatever subject that you're doing, fairly quickly. So yeah, Quizlet first. That's my first recommendation. Really good one, really well used. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that my producer, the big boss man, Tom Rogers, sometimes causes me endless grief in the chat because I think he thinks he's funny. Poor thing. But also what he does is he also really nicely gives recommendations. And the recommendation that Tom put on Twitter when I gave out the call for revision apps is one that I concur with. It's my second recommendation. Now, there ain't no school like the old school, ladies and gentlemen. The OG of revision tools, the GOAT of revision tools, not particularly sparkling, not particularly sexy, but incredibly well done and well resourced and well presented, is BBC Bite Size. Anybody, if there is anybody who is actually studying for GCSEs and such at the moment listening to this, I doubt it, and if so, what are you doing? But they would let out a grunt. Oh no, not Bite Size. Bite Size is used, some people in some courts say it's overused. I just say, so when you say, you know, check Bite Size out for further information, people, oh no, not Bite Size again. It's used because it's good, you know. It's used because it's good. It's a public broadcasting service that really, really pays attention to what's going on in schools, exam boards, all those different things, a massive range of subjects, a massive range of activities, and really good information. Yeah, it might feel a bit passé. I feel like I should be like doing, something like sparkly and, but no. It's a solid BBC Bite Size. It is a solid resource for revision. It is old school to the max, which is probably why Tom Rogers recommended it. yeah, you see, I got one back on you there. So second recommendation for revision purposes or a revision app, BBC Bite Size, an oldie, but an extremely goodie. And then thirdly, I'm going to have to get my cheat sheets out. I've been doing some revision myself. But speaking of programs and apps that have daft names, I don't know why they do. I do know why they do it, you know, because, you know, it's you got to set yourself apart in the market. But the last app, I was talking to a lot of students about revision, and I was talking about different revision tools, and many of the students who I see, they want all their revision tools in one place. They don't want to have to be looking at different singular apps. So the go-to for a do-everything revision app is GoConquer. Now, right, if you don't know what GoConquer is and you want to go and have a look at it, just hark at this, all right? GoConquer is GoConquer. Now, I think, let me just say that again, GoConquer. I think it's probably because it may have used QR technology when it started or something along those lines. But, you know, besides the daft name, what we have is we have a really, really good all-in-one revision tool that has mind mapping, flashcards, calendars, so you can organize when your next thing is, how much time do you have left, and all sorts of different tools. And I think, you know, that's useful if you are looking for kind of like an all-in-one solution to revision issues. I didn't try this one with my own lad because he's not quite there yet at such a relatively sophisticated tool, but it's really, really good. It does lots of different things: flashcards, mind maps, notes. You can create courses, flowcharts, quizzes, slides, and you can get everything to work with each other. So it's not the only version of this type of technology out there. Once again, just as an aside, there's all sorts of different alternatives to this technology. And if you want any recommendations that aren't the ones that I mentioned, so hit me up on Twitter. I love recommending stuff to people because if it helps, kind of gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. Oh, that might be the vodka. Anyway, it's not the only one on the market, but it's a good solid one. I like the user interface. It's clean. You can sign up for free. And it's just got all these different tools in one place. They work with each other. I think it's a nice little addition if you are thinking of recommending a revision tool to students, or if you're thinking of doing something yourself. I'm trying to learn a couple of things at the moment. I figure I'm getting on in years. I'm trying to keep my mind sharp. So I'm learning the mandolin, which is just terrible, terrible, terrible sound. Absolutely terrible sound at the moment, but hopefully I'll get there. But I'm trying to learn Greek for when I'm away on the holidays. I hate being monolingual. I hate being that typical English person that only speaks English. I feel embarrassed when I go to other countries, you know. So I thought, right, we're going to go to Greece for holidays. That's good, right? I'm going to learn some Greek. It's difficult. I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know what I should be revising. So GoConquer is a nice little tool to try and put everything into one place and try and push your learning a little bit further than you would do otherwise. Also, another aside, ain't nothing wrong with old style just writing flashcards down, you know. It's a tried and tested approach, but it's why I like apps like Quizlet, because, you know, It takes something and it just gives it another step. It doesn't transform anything, doesn't try and bin everything that's gone before. Just take something that, you know that's worked and just makes it a little easier to create, makes it a little more engaging to do. And I like that kind of technology. I like technology that builds on stuff that works rather than things that don't chuck the baby out with the bathwater. Don't do that. For starters, what the hell are you doing chucking babies around? Secondly, it's a technology. Quizlet is a really good example of a technology that builds upon an established, useful approach. And I like that as a teacher, as an ex-teacher, and I like that as a current technologist, because I don't necessarily think you have to kind of just chuck everything away all the time. So those are... But yeah, I didn't realize how out of practice I was when it comes to revision. Let's just go to the comments that we have here up on the Podbean live chat. CG Vowels, I'm going to call you Siege, because I think now, because you've been so fantastic, I think we're getting to that point where we're making that connection. So Siege says, imagine the sound of a whole KS4 cohort clattering away on keyboards for 2+ hours. Exam rooms will be the noisiest rooms in the school. Noise-cancelling headphones will be essential. This is another example of the practicalities of digital assessment. You know, if you're going to have a whole bunch of people using computers, there is going to be a noise level. You know, and if there is a noise level, if you do have to use something to reduce that noise level, that's an extra cost, isn't it? Yeah. You've got to think about these things. You've got to think about the minutiae. You've got to think about the small things, the unintended consequences of something like this. You know, oh, yes, we'll have online assessment. Great. So how are you going to cater towards students that don't have the technology at home, if it's in the home? How are you going to have massive rooms with hundreds of computers and ensure that they all work? Yep. So, these are really, really, really insightful. Leanne's on the message board. You can buy flashcards from W. H. Smith. You can. You can get them. Wilco's is my preferred option, or Home Bargains. I like them as well. They're quite cheap from Home Bargains, to be honest. But in all honesty, I bought flashcards for my boy, and we've not really touched the physical ones. We've done it all on the computer. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, it's those things. Also, we've got a comment, new times table test in primary will be done online. Oh, really? Now, that's interesting, because I think something like that lends itself to an online test. So, for instance, I'm trying now desperately to speak as I'm thinking. Timetabled rock stars for primary. Timetabled rock stars, I love. I love that. It's an online kind of rhythm game or beat the buzzer game when it comes to mathematics, when it comes to multiplication and other forms of mathematics that I don't really know about because, you know, maths. Oh, so strange. But I love that, and I love it because it taught my son just the basics of addition, division, multiplication in a fun way. In fact, I was having to think about what I'm going to talk about for next show. I think we'll talk about gamification in learning because number one, I need to recruit people into my Battlefield 4 squad. And number two, I think there's some really good examples out there of turning a particular learning experience into one that's quite addictive, and I think TT Rockstars is a really good example of that. But anyway, let's just go a little bit down the line. Back on to the notifications. Thank you, Andy Colley on Twitter. He says, yep, I crashed the ICT one by using shortcut keys. Had to sit on my left hand once they'd rebooted it to stop habit taking over. Also, anyone else remember the short-lived ICT Kier 3 on-screen Year 9 SAT? You know, these. So there are examples of online assessment going on. Oh, my producer, Tom, has just said, Graham Stanley did a TTR show on gamification a couple of weeks ago, if you want to check that out. I won't be doing gamification then. But if you want to, please join my Battlefield 4 squad. I need a sniper. So if you want to DM me with your PlayStation username, do that anyway. But yeah, Andy, that's right. The ICT teacher standards assessment was weird, because you didn't have to actually use the programs. You had to use a program, and then that program pretended to be other programs, and that was confusing for me, especially seeing as I had like 3 pints previously. So let's have a look and see what else we have on the feed. So in regards to digital assessment and in regards to the practicalities behind that, when people think about digital, we think about, you know, oh, we're going to, and I did at the beginning of the show, yo, you're going to remove all the paper, remove all the nonsense, remove all the, you know, the logistical nightmares of getting things to the right people at the right time, especially in FE and resets. But digital assessment comes with its own set of issues, comes with its own set of problems, very physical ones. You know, how do we supply students with the correct technology? How do we perhaps instruct students how to use this technology in a way that means that they're going to get a grade that they deserve, and so on and so forth? There are lots of different options, different things to consider in a practical sense. People have this idea that digital kind of just streamlines anything and everything. I don't necessarily believe that that's the case. I think sometimes what you do is you remove some issues, replace them with a different series of issues. I don't even know if it would be viable on such a large scale in assessment when it comes to things like GCSE. How would that work? How would you even get students into a place that has that many machines? What if you have students who don't necessarily have the knowledge of how to use computers in that particular type of way? I talk about this a lot, the digital native thing. This is why I like doing this particular show, because it means that I can basically just ruminate to myself, and then to other people every so often they listen in, which is, you know, a double bonus. Absolutely brilliant. Exam season, it's a crazy time. I don't think that there is, I don't want to speak on behalf of teachers, but there does not seem to be a massive want for any seismic change at this point in time when it comes to assessment. I think it's about kind of just kind of taking a breather, getting back to a particular sense of normality. Maybe I don't think it'll ever be the same for teachers, but getting back to the way that it was done before. Yes, I can hear the futurists going, no, we don't want to go back to the way it was before. We want to go forwards on hoverboards. We want always forwards, always new, always, let's change it now. It's the perfect time. I'm not sure that there's that kind of desire, if I'm going to be honest. I think teachers, educators across the spectrum, I think they need a little bit of a breather in regards to change, especially in regards to change as something as crucial, as massively crucial in this country as assessment. But who am I to speak at all, to be honest? I still think it's a minor miracle that people let me on this show. But, you know, I don't necessarily think that teachers have the desire, have the hunger for a massive shift in regards to assessment. And if there is a shift in regards to assessment, and if there is a move towards digital, there has to be benefits. You know, there has to be tangible, immediate benefits. And it's the same with any kind of introduction of technology across the board. In regards to education, people are like, oh, well, you know, we've got these wonderful things and nobody adopts them and nobody uses them. And it's like, well, if you can't see a reason why, then why would you expect somebody to change what they're doing already? It might be suboptimal what they're doing already, but if you don't give a tangible, visible, fairly immediate benefit for changing things up, then, you know, people are just going to see it as yet another burden. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm not going to doubt myself. I'm going to be confident in my own, bluster, and say, yeah, if digital assessment does become a thing, and for it to be adopted and for it to be taken forward, you have to have buy-in from teachers. You do. That's one of the big issues when it comes to technology or education technology in general. Strangely enough, teachers are often bypassed in the kind of the design stages, in the procurement stages, in, you know, and when it turns out that in fact, oh, actually, this doesn't really work. You know, you can hear the collective eye roll from teachers. And it's like, yeah, we know. So, excuse me. So if digital assessment is going to become a reality, it will have to have a visible benefit. Otherwise, there will be massive blowback about it, you know, and that's very rightly. It's intrinsic, rightly or wrongly, assessment, you know, terminal assessment in this country is a massive deal, absolutely massive deal. And if you're going to mess with it, better make sure you make it better, because otherwise, there'll be hell to pay. But anyway, let's have the news again. And then in the final part of the show, we can talk about some of the more practical issues. Or in fact, let's talk about the benefits of digital assessment, because I'm very pessimistic about a lot of things. So let's talk about the things that we think might be improved by having digital assessment.
This episode of Teachers Talk Radio has been made possible with support from Witherslack Group, the UK's leading provider of SEN education and care. They're here to support you too through an ever-growing offer of free resources, including webinars, podcasts, articles, and events aimed at supporting teaching professionals like you. Visit their website at www.witherslackgroup.co.uk to find out more.
Imagine a world where you were free to focus on sparking curiosity in your students and giving them access to the awe and wonder of learning. A world where you were supported to deliver a truly personalized education to help all your learners achieve their potential. No need to imagine it, because that's exactly what the Oxford Smart Curriculum Service delivers. Seamlessly integrating curriculum, resources, assessment, next steps, and professional development, every component of Oxford Smart is connected and working to provide you with a uniquely coherent and responsive service that empowers you and your students with transformational effect. The Oxford Smart Curriculum Service. When everything connects, anything is possible.
Introducing Bulb. With evidence-based learning at the forefront of education, let Bulb digital portfolios help reshape your educational practice. Bulb helps teachers teach and learners learn. Bulb is an easy-to-use, fully accessible digital platform that captures students' digital learning assets in one place, allowing them to evidence their learning and reflect on their growth. Our dedicated team of education specialists are on hand to ensure that Bulb fits seamlessly into all of your teaching practices. Come take a look and get a free account at bulbapp.com.
If you're listening to this, then we know we share one thing in common: a passion for the type of outstanding education that every child deserves. That's what makes us the leading provider of specialist education and care. We need people like you to help us achieve even more. With us, you'll be given all the resources and support you need, offered a clear path to career progression, and be rewarded with some of the best salaries and benefits the industry has to offer. We are Witherslack Group. If you'd like to find out more, we'd love to hear from you. Visit www.witherslackgroup.co.uk/careers and be part of our future.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News with Joe Fox.
FE Week reports on Ofsted findings following new inspections within the sector. Recent inspections at three colleges found that standards had not slipped in the decade since their last inspection. All three colleges retained their outstanding grades. The three colleges in Yorkshire were last inspected 10 years ago, but the latest reports highlight the high standards that have been maintained over time. The inspections took place at Notre Dame Catholic Sixth Form College in Leeds, Barnsley College and Greenhead College, both in West Yorkshire. Outstanding colleges are subject to full inspections for the first time this year since 2010, after an exemption was lifted. In Kent, the Isle of Thanet News website reports on the opening of Phys Lab at St Peter's Junior School. The purpose-designed hub within the school grounds enables children to enjoy hands-on experience in exploring the world of physics and general science. The hub was opened in partnership with Ogden Trust. Nathan Williams, the school's award-winning science lead, says the opening of the hub had been fantastic and that children and staff from the school and those from partnership schools were looking forward to exploring a range of scientific learning opportunities. The hub will also be accessible to local schools not in the partnerships. Cameron Ogden, chair of Ogden Trust, stated, "Physics as a subject has huge importance. We are determined that everyone have access to inspiring physics education." Many media outlets report on the arrest of three people on suspicion of involvement in female genital mutilation at an unregistered school in Birmingham. Police, prompted by Ofsted inspectors who had reportedly found a locked room containing medical equipment and a bed, searched the school. Ofsted inspectors were originally following up reports of an unregistered school, but concerns were raised about possible illegal practices, so police were called in. In recent weeks, the Department for Education has announced an increase in powers for Ofsted inspectors so that unsafe, unregistered schools could be shut down. Good Housekeeping has published advice for students in managing their finances. The information on their website includes advice on how to access additional support, eligibility for tuition fee loans and maintenance loans, as well as the implications for repayment. It also outlines other funding pots some students may be able to access. As the cost of living continues to rise, the website reminds students and parents that the deadline for student finance for new students is the 20th of May. In South Africa, the Minister of Higher Education will table a budget for the department's strategic vision for the coming year. The budget will focus on COVID recovery and provide fully subsidised financial support to students. It will also help to increase participation rates amongst people with disabilities and women. This has been your Teachers Talk Radio Weekend News with Joe Fox.
This is 2 Minute Tech with Steve Woods, your tech briefing on Teachers Talk Radio.
Hello. This week, we're going to take a look at the much-coveted presentation clicker. It's a must-have device for a lot of teachers out there, as it allows you to move slides whilst AFK. For those new to 2-Minute Tech, AFK is away from keyboard. Ranging in price from £8 to £30, this classroom essential allows you to stretch your legs and make a few shapes while you dance around the room. Some of us have a mandatory piece of blue tack over the built-in laser pointer. Others have invested in a bit of duct tape, so we ensure the device meets health and safety regulations. And most of us have a small stash of AAA batteries in a secret place that we never admit to having. Well, clicker, I'm telling you to stand aside. The Mini Wireless Multimedia Keyboard is taking your place. Having a lower price range of £8 to £15 and being able to do everything the clicker does except blind pupils, as it has no laser pointer, and wait for it. It is rechargeable. You have full keyboard and mouse control from anywhere in your classroom. You can move slides on, Alt-Tab to switch applications, type, use spacebar to stop and start YouTube clips for questioning. Battery life is quite honestly ridiculously long, and if it runs out, a 5-minute charge on a USB lead will get you through your lesson. All I can say is if you're considering replacing your clicker or are simply a gadget magnet, this is a must-have. Search for Mini Wireless Keyboard in any online shop. The only thing I'd say is get one with a light-up keyboard if you present with the lights off. As always, don't forget to check out the TT Radio 2022 Twitter feed. Tell us what you want to know about tech. I'm Steve Woods, and that was 2 Minute Tech.
2 Minute Tech with Steve Woods, your tech briefing on Teachers Talk Radio.
It's nice to hear that colleges in the West Yorkshire area, big up Leeds, doing really well there. I get on the bus with a lot of students from one of those colleges, And you know, all right, yeah, they may take my favourite seat, but you listen to them talk, and it's a joy, you know, listening to them. It's one of the things that made me nostalgic for examinations, and made me think to myself, oh, you know, teaching, yeah, that's quite a nice thing. It was listening to them talk after an exam that they had, you know, and it's always the same, isn't it? You know, it's always the same. What did you get? You know, what did you get for? Do you get for that one? What? Two? Oh, no. What, you mean there were three parts to that paper? that kind of conversations are universal. And it's nice. So well done. You know, well done, West Yorkshire. And well done, the colleges there mentioned in the news. So for the last part of the section, so I am not accused of being Mr. Grumpy Pants. Digital assessment is the subject that we're talking about today. I tend to focus on some of the things that may be problematic in regards to this particular area, but I'm saying particular quite a lot. I don't know why. We've been talking about digital assessment. We've been talking about some of the things that may mean that they are not the holy grail of assessments, especially in regards to GCSE. Especially in regards to current possible plans in regards to a shift from the traditional pen and paper tests to a more online digital test in response to the lost examination years that we have experienced. But let's talk about the positives. Let's talk about the things that may be beneficial for students. If these things are going to take place, there may be scope for them being remote. You know, remote digital GCSE assessments, remote digital A level assessments, and I like that idea. I like that idea. When it comes to being accessible, you know, allowing students to take the assessment in their own homes or somewhere where they feel comfortable, somewhere if they have a disability that means that they can't travel to a particular building in a particular time to do a particular exam. I'm doing it again. I think that's beneficial. When it comes to there's lots of discussion at the moment in regards to things like and this touches on digital assessment, things like working from home. And it's very much from, you know, it's very much from a, well, did you hear Boris, was it this week, talking about, you know, oh, you're working from home, so all you do is cut up bits of cheese and wander around. I paraphrase, of course, but to be honest, if I didn't paraphrase, it would sound, I paraphrase to make it sound less ridiculous than it did. And it's like, yeah, okay, working from home has been a massive benefit to lots and lots of different people, including very much the disabled community. So if we take that idea and we place it upon the idea of digital assessment, yeah, I think that could be a real benefit. I don't know if it would be allowed, as it were, you know, remote testing comes with its own set of difficulties, so you know, but I see that as a great benefit. If we're talking about digital assessment, what you're doing is you're freeing up physical space, you're freeing up the need to be in a physical space, and in many different situations I can only see that as a benefit. It means that you know, you say goodbye to those wonderful exam days where everybody's stressed out of their minds, and you know where everybody starts acting real strange, teachers and students. This is, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the other thing, isn't it? It's not really mentioned very much, but there's a massive, massive pressure on teachers in regards to examinations. Not more so than the students, obviously, but you know, it's how we measure our worth as a. Sometimes, well, it is how other people measure our worth as our. It is the way that people measure the worth of teachers in regards to. Whether they're doing a good job, in regards to whether a school's doing a good job, whether that's a good or a bad thing, you know, that's for another show. He says, writing down a quick note so he can have an idea for another show quite quickly. So, but I do like the fact that it removes an obstacle of physicality, as it were. So, yeah, I think in that way it'd be an extremely beneficial for many, many students. Also, I talk about, you know, not completely changing everything, but there's scope to remove some of the, or streamline some of the processes in regards to assessment. So, you know, not to sound too kind of techie futurist, you know, polo neck wearing kind of person, but if, you know, if we look at the assessments themselves, and if we look at the way that we could perhaps employ artificial intelligence to help with marking, or to help, as was mentioned in the Guardian piece itself, looking at adaptable tests that change given the questions that have been answered, I think there's scope for really streamlining some of the processes that are fairly cumbersome in regards to examination. I would be loath to think that everything would be handed over to AI. I think examiners in this country do a fantastic job in under an amazing amount of pressure. But I do think that there's scope for streamlining certain cumbersome issues. And very much like the issues that I stated at the beginning of the show, you know, like physically getting papers to places, physically making sure that everything is sorted out, making sure that, you know, that you, everyone's got a pen. Everyone's talking about pens at the moment, and it's brilliant. I love it. I love talking about pens. I don't care what anybody else says. Oh no, there's so many more important things in education. No, there's not. Pens are awesome. We'll talk about pens all you want. But it means that, you know, a digital assessment means that record keeping might become slightly easier. Analytics might become a larger factor. So students could really look at, you know, where, what they did great, what they did great, what they did well and what they didn't do well. And you could adapt your own learning or your own teaching in regards to those things. I mean, for instance, you know, you could have a cohort where you could break down in very large detail where students are going wrong, meaning that perhaps next year you can adapt your own teaching practices for that. I think that's, I mean that facility is there, but it's quite difficult to kind of get hold of that information. And I foresee that if we're using a digital form of assessment, those kind of analytics, which feature in so many different programs now, would be quite easy to get hold of. So what you could do is you could use cohort's results, the breakdown of a cohort's results, even down to the question, and use that to inform your teaching in the future. But of course, this is, you know, it's all hearsay at the moment, because, you know, there is a shift. I do foresee that there's a shift coming, because I don't think there's any way that the powers that be will let there be another missed exam year. I cannot see that happening. It would be awful. So digital assessment could mean a way to circumvent the very awful issues that we've been having the last couple of years. I agree with the piece in that regard. I think analytics would be extremely useful in regards to seeing how students have done, seeing what can be changed, seeing what can be taught. Also, the adaptation of papers as well. How many times have you come across a paper? Because it seems to have, I don't know if it's me getting old, and me getting kind of like, oh, back in the day, I remember when papers were, you know, they were correctly spelled, and the questions made sense, and, you know, the answers actually linked to the question. In the very end of my teaching career, mistakes in papers seem to be happening incredibly regularly, you know, incredibly regularly. I'm assuming that a digital assessment would be easier to change if needs be. right up until the point where they go live. So, you know, would that mean that there would be less blatant errors in examinations? Because there's nothing worse when a student doesn't get what they deserve because a question has been worded wrongly or it's not been, you know, I don't want to do examinations down, although I still do not understand why we have 112 different examining bodies. I think it's complete nonsense, but that's just me. But yeah, it just seemed that there were so many mistakes in these incredibly important documents in the, you know, the twilight years of my teaching career. And I was like, that shouldn't be happening. That really shouldn't be happening. But of course, you know, with physical media, once it's out there, it's very difficult to change. Digital assessment would make any changes that needed easier and would make it perhaps a little more immediate. And I think that's a benefit. That's a benefit. If anybody out there's got any other benefits, let me know. Drop it into the chat. As I said at the beginning, at the top of the show, more than happy to discuss the things that we are tiptoeing around. And that you can do that by hitting me up on Twitter at tstarkey12212, or of course the Teachers Talk Radio. Or you can drop a comment into the Podbean live chat if you are listening live. And if you're listening live, thank you very much for taking this muggy here in the north, this muggy evening, and taking a little time out of your week before you hit next week with a mallet. It's nice to know that people are listening. It's nice getting feedback. It's really, really nice when people kind of just put in. You know, it's great. It's a lovely feeling. So benefits of digital assessment, disadvantages of digital assessment. Whether this is going to happen or not, I don't know. As was mentioned before, I think the logistics of changing to digital and some of the things that you would have to do for it to be viable in such a large assessment base, GCSEs and A-levels, would be incredible. And I couldn't see it happening like over an examination. You know, one year is paper based, the next year it's digital. I couldn't see how that would work. Although, as an extra option in regards to assessment, I think that's where it kind of shines. The fact that digital assessment that could be run parallel to paper based assessment. Because then, you know, you've got the best of both worlds. But who and why and which students take which particular version of the assessment would be also something to consider in, a lot. There's one thing that you don't want to do if you're going to think about changing to digital assessment, and that is you do not want to rush it. The unintended consequences of getting digital assessment wrong are huge. And it's nice to chat to people and talk about like the physical aspects, such as, you know, Wi-Fi, technology, budgets, these things that are hardly ever considered. The authentic knowledge of teachers saying, hang on a minute, what happens if this happens? For instance, Siege's comment about entire cohorts on keyboards and the noise that would make. Or Leanne's comment before about, you know, what happens if a computer freezes? Oh my goodness me, could you imagine the anxiety and the pain that a frozen computer would cost a student who was doing a digital assessment? I could not, oh my goodness me, I could, my heart goes out to this theoretical student or students. But these are the dangers of using technology. Technology is and of itself sometimes fallible, and of course users are very, very fallible. So, you know, there's something else to consider. But benefits, you know, it opens up the assessment process. It means that you don't have to be tethered to a physical space, and I'm all about that. You know, you could change the paper. But the last thing I want to talk about before I I sign off and I let you go on your merry way, is cheating. You know, we do have issues, of course, with paper-based assessment when it comes to cheating. I don't know how rife cheating is when it comes to GCSEs and A levels. I can't think really of. Well, you know, you've got the classics. You know, you've got notes hidden on various parts of your anatomy. Stuff written backwards on the backside of water bottles. In fact, I'm not going to go into detail of some of the stuff that I have seen because I don't want to give any bugger any ideas. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, I had this wonderful show and this guy was just telling you how to cheat. Yeah, that would not be great. But in my fairly extensive teaching career, there have been times when students have attempted to cheat. And, you know, what happens in regards to a digital assessment? Would the opportunity for cheating become greater? Would it lessen? I don't know. I mean, you know, timing is always an issue when it comes to assessments. Anyway, the sharing of information is always an issue when it comes to assessments. You know, assessment day on social, you know, GCSE day on social media, A level day on social media it's an absolute minefield in regards to sharing information. You know, we've had students live streaming, as it were, although, you know, you probably could, but, you know, we've had students who have been sharing questions as the assessment has gone on, and so on and so forth. Would a digital assessment lessen or increase those issues? I don't know. I think I have a suspicion that in regards to technologically efficient students, there may be a call to try to see if you can get a little bit of a head start in regards to trying to find out what's going on. But once again, as I said at the top of the show, this is all theoretical. You know, this is all based off one article that I read and I thought, hang on, yeah, this may be the way things are going. But there will be issues the same as they are issues at this point in time. How do you keep things fair? How do you make sure that an assessment actually measures the things that it's supposed to measure? How do you make sure that, you know, it's accurate? How do you make sure that people don't share information? All these things are issues that go back as far as assessments do. So maybe cheating is not something to overly worry about. You know, even though I've seen it happen, it was incredibly rare, and often tried to carry out by students who were incredibly desperate. So, you know, once again, let's not focus on the negatives. Let's focus on the positives. So, you know, for students with disabilities, it might be an advantage to have an assessment like this. For homeschoolers, it might be great to be able to have an assessment where you don't have to go to an actual center. But yeah, I mean, is it going to happen? I think it probably is. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. And it will be interesting to see what happens in a new digital age of assessment, and what the advantages will be, what the disadvantages will be. Will it end up being a positive experience for students and teachers, or will they both be clamoring to get back to the black pens and papers and please turn over, you know, at this particular time? Speaking of assessments, now, I'm not going to be able to scroll that all the way down to this point, but a little while ago, there was a wonderful app that was recommended in a Twitter conversation. And what I might do is I might just put it onto the download description. An app that works out your examination time for you. I know for a fact that I always struggled, you know, what, well, okay, so the examination starts at this point in time, it goes on for an hour and a half, but now, hang on, it's quarter past, and I know, yeah, I did, I used to struggle with it. So there is an app that works it out for you. And what I'll do is I will put the description of that app into the description of the download. Of course, Teacher Talk Radio is not just a live event. You can download you can download all the shows, not just mine. There are lots and lots of other fantastic practitioners giving out lots and lots of incredibly good information about the world of teaching, education, and so on and so forth. So if you think to yourself, oh, this fella, he's just chatting bubbles on a Sunday evening. Yes, I am. But there's also wonderful people, hugely knowledgeable, talking about really, really relevant subjects. So check out all the downloads from Teacher Talk Radio. You will find something that will float your boat, or find your lost remote, or clicker, as it were. I know that Steve Woods was recommending mini keyboards, but now I'm thinking after the show I might just have a little look on Amazon and see what I can have a look clicker wise. I love the ones with the laser pointers. Laser pointers are awesome. I know that, you know, in schools it might be probably not the best idea to have a working laser beam, because these things often go missing. And I also want to know, where is Steve Wood's secret place he keeps his batteries? That's what I want to know, because he mentioned it, and I'm, because my mind is racing as to where he's put those batteries. So anyway, excuse me. So yeah, thank you very much for listening, guys. Digital assessment, advantages, disadvantages. I don't think I'm any more decided than I was at the beginning of the show, to be honest. There's practical issues that everybody's going to have to consider. Just going back to some of the things that people from Twitter, Pig Witch, who I've mentioned before, wonderful practitioner. She loves Quizlet. Dan Draper, and that's Mr. Draper Maths on Twitter. Shout out to Smart Cards Plus, another alternative when it comes to flashcards. We've got a shout out to Brainscape. And the last one, which was a recommendation from the audience, in this case, Kimberly Evelyn's Nourish Workplace. She recommended, and it's been mentioned before, I think, on the show, is rememberMore.app, which is a revision system created by Christian Still, that looks really, really good in regards to digital flashcards. I'm a big convert to flashcards, me. I think I might use flashcards to try and learn the information for the next show. So it means it's a little bit less off the cuff. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a really, really good week. If you have students who have exams, or if you are worried about exams, you're worried about the students doing the exams, you've done your bit now, guys. You've done your bit. It's up to them now. Embrace the madness of the exam season. And I will be up on the show again extremely soon. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live and listen back at ttradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you next time on Teachers Talk Radio.